Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser in for Chase McCabe. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios this morning. Keep texting in your answers to the question of the day that we have got for you today. In honor of the Panthers, Hurricanes game last night, quadruple overtime. What is the longest sporting event that you've attended, that you've watched, that sticks out in your mind? Text us, call us on our phone or text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today. And we've got a promo code, so don't forget to use it. And it's The Game, T-H-E-G-A-M-E.
I also want to hear some heartbreaking stories, too. Like the longest games, like one of the games I went to, just to kind of get everyone stirred up with this. I think it was the 2016 first round. I think it was 16, maybe it was 15. The Preds played the Chicago Blackhawks and went the double overtime. And out of anyone that scored, it was Duncan Keith from the point. Just, I will never forget that. Just as a fan at the time, when that went in the back of the net, after sitting there all night, I had to go back to school the next day because it was in April. I'm like, this is the worst.
And that's a good point, because if we have anybody listening in Carolina, and I can't wait to get Greg Wyshynski on next week
and ask
him about it, because I know he was there.
I kind of wish we had him today instead of yesterday.
Exactly. But what were those Canes fans like? I mean, I give so much props to everybody who stayed until, I think, 2:30 was the bus they
that
got to leave.
Bus,
so
yeah.
Whether the game ended at 1:45 or 2, I give you major props. So tell us the game stories. I know somebody texted in an infamous game, one of the Big East games, Syracuse-UConn, 6 overtimes a bit ago when the Big East was still the Big East. That's a great one. Somebody texted in some overtime games, one that was actually in the same arena between the Canes and somebody else a couple years ago. So keep texting them in. I know we've got some baseball stories too, I bet there's some baseball ones too.
What about you in Kentucky? Did you ever have anything there?
I can't remember one off the top of my head in person. I did mention the one earlier this year. I was just watching on my TV, but
right,
it was one of the first games of the year. It was Michigan State, Kentucky. I think it went into 3 overtimes.
I think you're right. And that was the week that you and Derek were beefing about
game. We were beefing about that one. And I just remember it came down to foul shots every time, and they're missing them. And I'm just standing there and I'm watching it on TV. But
I think Oscar Shibuya kind of had a bad game then too.
Yeah.
I can't remember precisely, but I think he was definitely having an off night.
And so Jonathan texted in on our text line and said, Preds and Ducks, can't remember if it was playoffs
or
not, but it was the
longest
game in Preds history.
Yes, I know exactly what that, I know what the, yeah. I,
do you know how long it went?
So I want to say, and there was one when I was a senior in high school, I was having my senior party after graduation, and we were all upstairs in my bonus room watching it. I think it went to double overtime as well. We'd have to go back and take a look, but yeah, and then one of the other infamous ones I have as a Preds fan when I was a lot smaller was when the Preds were playing in Vancouver against the Canucks, and I think it was game 2 coming back to Nashville. They went to double overtime, and it was Jared Smithson that scored the goal, so that was interesting.
Yeah, so keep texting us. Call us, too, if you want, 615-737-1025. We want to hear all your stories. But switching back to the Tennessee Titans talk and the AFC South, I think the consensus nationally, maybe not locally and not with everybody, but the consensus has seemed like people are already ready to give the crown to Trevor Lawrence and say he's clear and far the best quarterback in the AFC South. And I think that that's a little disrespectful to Ryan Tannehill. I mean, I think that, yes, these last 2 years for him, they've been tough. Because the year they get the number one seed, and when all the eyes are on them and they have a clear path to the AFC Championship game again, he shrunk under pressure. Okay, one game. Trevor Lawrence also threw, I think, 4 picks in his playoff game last year against the Chargers.
And they still won.
But that's what people remember. They remember them winning, and the Tennessee Titans didn't win that game against Cincinnati. But, I mean, it's not like this Jags team lost 4 games or something last year. I mean, they pretty much had the same record as the Tennessee Titans. I think they were 9-8 and they won the division, and it took them all the way until week 18 to win the division.
Well, yeah, and at the bye, what was their record? Wasn't it like 2-6 or something crazy? They had the best record in the NFL once they came back from their bye, I think.
Yeah, because they had to win, like the Tennessee Titans. They won they lost seven games in a row.
Yep.
The Jags essentially had to win out in that scenario. But I'm just not ready for people to crown him as the best quarterback in the AFC South. I agree. His ceiling, probably higher than Ryan Tannehill.
Sure.
We saw what he has done in his entire football career, whether it be high school, then college at Clemson, and a short time here mm-hmm. with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But when you talk about what they have accomplished, first off, their games are different. Mm-hmm. When you have Derrick Henry, your offense is going to look different. You're going to be more run heavy. So it's not going to be as flashy like you see Trevor Lawrence throwing all over the field. But the playoff game that they won, it was an incredible comeback performance. But I also think the Chargers kind of...
It wasn't his best game, but the Chargers defense also put their stamp on him. But then they gave it up late, so it's kind of tough. Because when you read how he did in that game, it's like... He did that bad, but he also kind of did that good toward the end. So that's an intriguing aspect to him. And I think it's just a really small microcosm of what the Jags have been all these previous seasons. And then they finally broke through because Trevor Lawrence made up for his mistakes.
Well, and I get it. He was the number one pick in the draft. People want to crown him that already. But there's still a lot for him to prove. And how much better can he get this year when he has a really good roster around him? Robbie and Rexroad asked TD this question this morning, and why are people just ruling Ryan Tannehill out already? Here was Tron Davenport's answer.
TD, why do so many people, including a lot of people at your shop, and people at my shop too, think that the Titans are going to be hot garbage next season?
Yeah, I think it's the seven-game losing streak that the year ended on, and it's Tannehill, man. Tannehill is nationally underrated. I firmly believe that to be the case. Now, I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes or anything like that, but, I mean, if you go by quarterback, you'll probably find, eight, nine guys, I would say. Tannehill's a solid quarterback, but he's not that guy that's going to throw for 300 yards every week. He's not that guy that's going to pass for 4,500 yards. So he doesn't draw that national attention. And then let's face the facts, man, the Titans, even when they're winning, like to the modern day football fan, they're not the most exciting team to watch. So you combine those, they typically become an afterthought. And even when they're winning as the number one seed in the AFC, they're still an afterthought. So with them having a 7-game losing streak, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yep. No.
So that was Tron Davenport on Robbie and Rexroad this morning, and I think he laid it out perfectly. Ryan Tannehill is an extremely underrated quarterback at the national level. I mean, at some points, he's an afterthought. People are already claiming and awarding Will Levis with the starting job, and he's barely even been in Nashville for a month. I mean, he's only been here a couple of weeks, and he still is a rookie. And I think maybe people look around the AFC South and see that, oh, we're going to have all rookies and Trevor Lawrence next year, and it's Trevor Lawrence's division to lose. And I agree. I think the Jags are going to be better than they were last year. Trevor Lawrence, things clicked for him. You got Doug Peterson. They've got a solid defense. Calvin Ridley's coming back. I do think the team will be better. But I don't think that that means the Tennessee Titans can't beat them, because I do think their defense is going to be really strong next year, and that's the way they're going to win games. But we've seen them win games like that before, and I have full confidence in Mike Vrabel that he can get this defense ready to be at their top level, because at the defense's peak last year, the team recorded through the first six games one interception and three sacks a game. They were on a trajectory to break a record. They missed two games because it was right after the Green Bay game. And we know that things changed after that game. They didn't win after that
yes.
game. But it didn't happen in the Green Bay game. So every game up until there, they had recorded an interception and three sacks a game.
I mean, that's pretty remarkable.
For six consecutive games. I mean, that is not – a defense hasn't been able to do something like that since – teams like the 85 Bears. And everybody knows who's a football fan knows what I mean when I say the 85 Bears. I mean, their defense last year, I know it's really easy to forget, but was performing at an extremely, extremely high level. And I know you don't want to hear this, but then injuries crept in. And I feel like I need to put an asterisk next to there whenever I say that. But this defense has the ability to get back to a top-level defense.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Harold Landry's coming back. You know, he hopefully has had over a year to recover off of that ACL injury. Jeffrey Simmons, he talked to the media, I think it was at an event or something like that.
It was pretty recently.
The offseason. Oh, it was at his contract. It was when he got his contract.
It was right
extension.
After, yeah.
So he talked and he said, you know, he's feeling good heading into this season. It's not the defense I worry about. And if the offense can, you know, run through Derrick Henry, which they've done for the last couple seasons and been very, very successful and really in his career here. If they can do that and they can get some production from a Treylon Burks, a Kyle Phillips, a Chigakonkwo, I think it's going to be better than last year.
I think so, too.
And last year was very bad, but so many things went wrong. And I'm just not ready to claim the Jags the clear and far winner of the AFC South because I still do look at this division and I think it is winnable when you have Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I think that's a very strong case. What I also like, too, that people probably aren't talking enough about is isn't the last 5 out of 7 games of the season for the Titans at home? So I think they only have 2 road games to like out of the last 7 games that they do have. It's something like that, at least. I know that they have a favorable schedule when it comes to being at home. And Michelle, I know that we have the next segment open, but you got me thinking about quarterbacks. And I heard an exercise yesterday. If you're interested, I can walk you through something. But I think we could do some quarterback comps to Tannehill and see if you would take someone over Tannehill or if you would take Tannehill over a different quarterback.
Well, I just had pulled up the entire list of NFL quarterbacks to do the same thing. So great minds think alike. We are going to ask the question. We're going to go through all of the starting quarterbacks. We'll do the AFC, and if we have time, we'll do the NFC too. And we'll ask you, would you take Ryan Tannehill over them? Coming up next on Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser in for Chase McCabe today. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios this morning. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Durham Bulls, AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays looking very good. The Sounds wrap up their series this weekend on Saturday at 5:35. And Sunday at 12:05. Sounds Baseball 94.9 is presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Our question of the day, we've got a couple answers I want to run through quick before we do this quarterback exercise. But question of the day is, in honor of the Panthers and the Canes quadruple overtime game last night, what is the longest sporting event you've ever attended or watched? Jenna texts in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. She says, best game I ever attended was 2016 round 2 game 4 in the third overtime versus the Sharks. Mike Fisher scores. Yep. The arena exploded with cheers, chants, hugs from strangers. It simply was the best. Yeah. We have another texter text in that same game. Somebody else texts in and says, Tiger Woods wins in 2008 U.S. Open at Torrey Pines on the 91st hole on a broken leg.
Oh, my gosh.
Incredible. And then we also had another text in a couple texts ago. I can't find it, but they said 11 hours at Wimbledon.
Wow.
So people have gone through some incredible sporting events in history. And
that's
I know that
nuts.
That game last night, unfortunately for the Canes fans who were there, it was the Panthers who won.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm sure that the Panthers fans were well traveled going up there too, because that's not like it's a far drive. But I mean, you're on the East Coast, so mm-hmm. I'm sure that they were well supported last night for sure.
Yes. So, okay, Nick, you brought up, and I was on the same page as you, going through the quarterbacks. We'll do the AFC for now, see how much time we have. But going through the quarterbacks and saying, would you take Ryan Tannehill over them or not?
All right, let's do it.
Okay. You first off, Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson.
Oh, I think I would rather take Lamar.
I'm going to take Lamar. Yep, I'm on the same page as you. Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen.
I'm going to take Josh Allen.
I'm going to take Josh. Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow. I think we're both
yes.
on the same page there. This is an interesting one.
Yes.
Cleveland Browns, Deshaun Watson.
I think I might take Tannehill.
I think for me, we've seen Deshaun Watson at the level he can perform at in his prime in Houston.
Sure.
But the guy hasn't hadn't played football in almost 2 years,
mm-hmm.
played 7 games last year.
Yeah, it just isn't enough.
Right now in their career, I'm taking Ryan Tannehill because I think Deshaun Watson is more of a question mark right now.
Right.
Denver Broncos, Russell Wilson.
This might be unpopular, but I think I might take Wilson.
Okay. What he's done in his career, completely get it. I mean, everybody here wanted the Titans to make that trade
exactly.
in the offseason, whether it was Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. People thought Aaron was automatically going to the Broncos.
Yep.
I think I give the slight edge to Russell Wilson. It's just really hard because he had an awful season last year. That one's actually closer.
I think it's the closest one, in my opinion, because now he's got a new coach in there, too, this year. So I wonder what he's going to look like this year, Michelle.
And I know people on the text are going to say, well, you know, he's been to a Super Bowl. I get it.
Yes. Should have ran the ball, too.
He also threw a pick to seal the deal for Mr. Tom Brady and company.
Yep.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, especially with the season he had last year
mm-hmm.
and just some of the drama surrounding him.
Yeah. So do you want to include these rookies next or
yeah,
do
we'll
you want to?
We'll include
okay.
them.
Okay.
So I'll give the slight edge to Russell Wilson. We both will for that. Houston Texans, CJ Stroud, I'm taking Tannehill.
Yeah, I will take Tannehill too. Maybe in a couple of years you'll take a CJ Stroud, but I don't think so. So, and then the next one, I think we're both on the same page with the Texans, and so Anthony Richardson.
Colts, I'm taking Tannehill.
I think I would take Tannehill right now. Now by the bye week, maybe that could change. Who knows what we might see out of him. But then you go down to a guy that we've talked about for a while is mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence.
I'm taking Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I think I will too. Just based on the fact that this year he's got a more talented team around him. That's another year under their belt. I mean, Hasselbeck said it yesterday on his visit. He's more talented, and he thinks that Travis Etienne is a superstar running back. He's mm-hmm. got that supporting guy with him. So Lawrence and him together can be insane.
And, you know, people might come at me on the text line and say, well, Michelle, you were just saying you're not ready to claim to give the crown to Trevor Lawrence.
He's still better.
No, he's still better. Better, I think, right now from what we've seen him. Do I think he's in that elite category yet? No. I think he still has some stuff to prove out there. He's heading into his fourth year. I always forget because that COVID year was in there.
Yep.
But Ryan Tannehill has had more success. He's also been in the league a lot longer. That's why I'm saying we've seen 1 year from Trevor Lawrence. I think the ceiling is higher for him, and I think, you know, when you're looking at maybe a graph of heading down the next 5 years, like, I would take Trevor Lawrence.
100%. As far as talent, what he's supposed to be, you go Lawrence, but right now you still take Tannehill because he has a proven body of work. So then the next one, we got Patty Mahomes.
Okay, that's easy. Patrick Mahomes. I think every single person, maybe except for the Bengals, would take Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, exactly.
Las Vegas Raiders, Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm taking Tannehill over Garoppolo.
Yeah, I think I would too, unless Jimmy G just starts to go off this year. But I think Jimmy is what he is, and I don't think he's going to be too special.
Justin Herbert with the Los Angeles Chargers.
This isn't an interesting one.
Justin Herbert, yeah, he's an interesting one too. And actually, you know, a conversation we had the other day was, and we don't bring this up anymore because as soon as Justin, Ron said on the text line, he's going into his third year. Okay, I didn't think,
okay.
That's what I thought.
That makes a little more sense, okay.
Yeah, because his...
The COVID year was his first year, right? Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Ron. Los Angeles Chargers, Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's an interesting one because the conversation surrounding him heading into the NFL was there were a lot of concerns. He was somewhat polarizing too
mm-hmm.
in, you know, throwing interceptions and things like that. And people didn't believe that he'd be able to transfer to the NFL. But he so quickly kind of shut up the rumors
mm-hmm.
once he performed for the Chargers once he got out there. But he also was going into a roster that was pretty deep and pretty solid, right? I mean, between wide receiver, offensive line, running back. I mean, he was going into a good roster
mm-hmm.
right now. But we haven't seen him win in the playoffs yet.
No, we haven't.
I still will give him the slight edge. Younger, I think his ceiling is higher than a guy like Ryan Tannehill. So I will go Justin Herbert.
Okay.
But that's...
Well, and here's what I was thinking. And I definitely agree with you, and I am going to go Herbert, but I want to add this point too. So Staley, I believe this was correct. He went for it the most on fourth down this year. He took a lot of chances. So when you have a quarterback taking more chances, I mean, their conversion rate was the highest because they took the most chances. But I think Herbert, the more opportunities he gets to be clutch and practice it, the better he's going to get.
No, I agree. I think that's really fair. Also, just getting more reps. Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa.
Is he going to be more concussed this year? I'd love to know. But
I'm going to take Tannehill.
I think I would take Tannehill too, just based on the fact that I think Tua has more to prove to us. So
I just think Tua's just been rattled with injuries his entire career, whether it be at Alabama or whether it be in the NFL. And we've seen some great glimpses, but he also has Waddle, Tyreek Hill. You got Jalen Ramsey now on defense. He's got some great weapons out there.
He may not have Tyreek all the way through his entire career, though, because Tyreek said on a podcast, he's like, yeah, I'm going to play up my contract and probably retire, but we'll see.
Be interesting to see a big prove it year for Tua. New England Patriots, Mac Jones. I'm taking Tannehill over Mac Jones.
Yeah, I will too. I think the way that Mac Jones' season went last year, he had the tightrope surgery as well. I don't know. Like, it's not going to affect him this current season, obviously. But, yeah, I give it to Tannehill because I think he's executed better than Mac Jones. Mac has a lot to prove.
Pittsburgh Steelers, Kenny Pickett. I wonder if Junie's listening right now. Who are you taking, Ryan Tannehill or Kenny Pickett?
I don't know. This is tough. Because
I don't think this is a tough one
for
me. Yeah, I'm taking Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
I understand Kenny Pickett had some – he ended up starting halfway through the season last year with the Steelers, had some comeback wins. But for me, it's just he's still an unknown. We saw what he did in a very brief period last year. Some of the guys I talk about of Herbert and Trevor Lawrence, we've just seen a lot more on their resume and seen them be able to consistently perform in the NFL. Kenny Pickett's still really unknown. I think this year is going to be a big year for him going into his second year. The Steelers have a pretty good roster around him, a good offensive line, and he's got some weapons out there. Pickens, we saw the Pickett to Pickens connection, but I'm going to go Ryan Tannehill. I think Kenny Pickett's still a question mark.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think it's a little more closer for me just because I think he has the talent to be a good starter. Now,
Ryan Tannehill talent to be a good – I mean, he's been a starter in the NFL for
a while. I would say, 8 to 9 years, maybe?
I mean, but that's the argument of people, like, looking at Ryan Tannehill and saying, no, he doesn't. I mean, Ryan Tannehill has been a consistent starting quarterback in the NFL.
And he's not mediocre. Anyone that thinks he's mediocre, he's not. I think he's done exactly what has been asked of him every single season. I don't think he's mediocre. If he's mediocre and you think he is, I would tread lightly. I think he's probably been closer to it, maybe, but I think he's done exactly what he's needed to. I think he's met expectations, if anything. He's had some bad seasons, but the time that he's missed in some of his previous years, I think it tells you that he tries to get through things. But I don't know. Now, compared to some other guys that we'll have to go through, one that I heard yesterday that I would love to get to before the break, would you take Ryan Tannehill or Justin Fields?
That's an interesting one. And we need to go to break now, but I will give you my answer on the other side. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Would you take Justin Fields over Ryan Tannehill? Text us, call us, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, in The Game Nashville app.
I'll say this about Tannehill. He's better than half the quarterbacks in this league. There's a lot of quarterbacks that teams like, that teams have said, this is our franchise guy. And I like Tannehill more than I like a lot of those guys. It's like we had TD on today. And, I mean, like sometimes people think I'm a homer. Sometimes people either think I'm the biggest homer in the world or they think that I absolutely hate the Titans or the Predators or whatever. And for some reason, they don't think that there's like an in-between, which is that I love these teams, but we got to keep it real around here. But, I mean, I think Tannehill's better. We were talking with TD about this today, and we were going through, and I was like, you know, Derek Carr, Tannehill.
That was Jared Stillman yesterday discussing which quarterbacks Ryan Tannehill is better than in the NFL, and I'm on the same page. I think Nick and I just went through the AFC, which is way more stacked than the NFC. And I put Ryan Tannehill, when you're looking at just the NFC, I put him as a top three quarterback in there. But the AFC is a different story. And of course, that's where the Tennessee Titans play, and you can't change that. But when you look at the NFL as a whole, I mean, I agree. I mean, I would need to do a whole list, but I would say he's in the top 15 quarterbacks. Well, actually, let me be careful with saying that because I don't
maybe
have a
20.
List in front. 20. Yeah, let's do 20. I don't have a list in front of me.
20 is a comfortable number.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable about that, and I would have to write them all out, every starter right now. But the question that we teased before the break and was, would you choose Ryan Tannehill over Justin Fields? And I have the luxury of living with a diehard Chicago Bears fan. So we watched every game last year, and Justin Fields had a breakthrough season. I mean, the team still, though, was the worst team in the league. They earned the number one overall pick. But Justin Fields had absolutely no one around him last year, other than maybe Mooney at wide receiver, who was able to make some plays. But, I mean, you talk about a guy who everybody says he's a running quarterback, which is funny because when he came out of Ohio State, he was never known as a running quarterback. But when you're on a team and you don't have any weapons and you don't have an offensive line, I watched him last year just run for his life and just try to make some plays out there. So if you ask me the question right now, who would I take? I would still take Ryan Tannehill.
Really?
I think Justin Fields still has so much to prove. And I think if you were to put him on this roster, it wouldn't do him any justice. I think Ryan Tannehill has been able to overcome adversity in this league and overcome, you know, not having the best rosters out there. I mean, we saw the offense with him in there, and then you saw a guy like Josh Dobbs get put in there, and you saw the difference. You saw a guy like Malik Willis. Justin Fields is still very raw, and heading into his third season, just like Trevor Lawrence, they got him a right tackle this year. They got him some wide receiver help and DJ Moore. They got draft picks. So, you know, what will he look like? I still think he's a question mark. I think he's a great athlete.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. But I think right now I still would take Ryan Tannehill over him.
Okay, well, so I looked up one stat. I knew that he didn't break Lamar Jackson's record for the most rushing yards in one season because Lamar has 1,206 and Justin Fields has 1,143. So he was just a few yards ahead of Michael Vick's record. Look, I think I do agree with you to a sense, but what I like more is the upside of Justin Fields long term. I think he's a very talented quarterback. And
no, but not long term.
No, right now. Yes, right now I would take Tannehill. I am impressed with how he can take over a game. And I actually heard a caller yesterday make the case that Fields has the capability to put the team on his back and win games. Yeah, they won three games, but the whole point of it is he's capable of it. It's not that he did it. Now, at times, I'm sure in those three wins, you look at him and you go, they don't win because of him. But, well, they do win because of him, excuse me. But I think he didn't have the personnel. Like you said, he had Darnell Mooney around him. And then he had Montgomery as the running back, right?
That roster was clear and far one of the worst rosters in the NFL. I like I said, I watched every single game. And the amount of games that they lost by one score. I mean, it couldn't have worked out better for the Chicago Bears because they lost so many one-score games when you're seeing your rookie quarterback take leaps and bounds above what he was able to do, taking over that full starting role this year. But he had nobody around
him.
Yeah,
he didn't.
I mean, Velus Jones was, I mean, he was like his second wide receiver. But I agree with you, Nick. I think that, yes, he has more upside, but I think right now, evaluating them, I still would take Ryan Tannehill over him. But if we look at some of the other quarterbacks in the NFC.
Let's do it.
Okay, first off, Atlanta Falcons, Desmond Ridder. I'm taking Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, that's easy. I think I'm taking Tannehill.
Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray. I'm still taking Tannehill over Kyler Murray.
Oh, there was a caller yesterday that went toe-to-toe with Jared about Kyler Murray being better, and I'm like, no, that's not the case.
Nope. I'm still taking Tannehill.
No way.
Kyler Murray, I understand, you know, where he went in the draft, and I understand people love his athletic ability, but he has not done, he's not proven himself in the NFL, and he also has a torn ACL, and we don't even know if he's healthy, but okay, we're moving on. Carolina Panthers, Bryce Young.
Ooh, I'm still going to go Tannehill, but I think he'll have a good – I think Bryce Young will have a good season. I think he's Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Ooh, a little called shot there from you, Keezer.
I think he's going to be pretty good this year. I'm pretty confident with that pick.
Yeah, I mean, Bryce Young is a rookie. I think his ceiling is a lot higher. I mean, he went number one overall, but
it's a lot like the Fields conversation I just had.
When you talk about who right now could win you football games, I mean, yeah. it's Ryan Tannehill. We already did Chicago Bears. We already did Fields. Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott.
Okay, I'm actually going to go Cowboys here.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Dak Prescott. So, and I know that Chaser is not here, so I know I would love to hear what Chase has to say, but in lieu of Chase not being here,
how about them Cowboys?
I think that would be the best way for me to make his pick for him. So, yes, okay. I'm going to go Dak Prescott.
This one's tough. This one's tough because I view them pretty similar. And it's interesting when you look at the AFC compared to the NFC. I mean, Dak is one of the top quarterbacks in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go Tannehill. I'm going to give Tannehill the slight edge.
Interesting.
I think Tannehill would have been more successful with the roster that Dak had around him last year.
Sure, sure. I don't disagree with you. I think that's an interesting conversation to have.
Okay, so. Here we go. Detroit Lions, Jared Goff. Okay, Robbie and Jared get in a big fight about this. And I think Jared thinks Jared Goff, he's going to choose him, but then I think Robbie's very down on Jared Goff and chooses Tannehill. I'm going to give Tannehill the slight edge.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I think, though, it could very well change this year. I mean, we saw Jared Goff be pretty successful with the Lions last year.
Sure.
Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love. I'm taking Tannehill. I have no idea what Jordan Love is going to be.
Yeah, that's easy. I think Tannehill. So.
Los Angeles Rams, Matthew Stafford. I'm taking a healthy Matthew Stafford. I have no idea what his status is, but I'm taking – hi, Derek. I heard Derek back there. But I'm taking Matthew Stafford. Going through the next couple, we got Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins. I'm still going to take Ryan Tannehill over Kirk Cousins.
You don't want to take Kirk Cousins with all them chains?
I'm good. New Orleans Saints, Derek Carr. I'm still going to take Tannehill over Derek Carr.
Ooh, really?
Yes. I don't think that's a hot take.
No, that's not a hot take, but I do think Derek Carr could have a good year. Now, I'll go Tannehill. I am a Saints fan. I'm like Elijah Campbell. But look, I personally think Derek Carr is going to have a good year. I'd still take Tannehill. But look, Derek Carr in the first game, I'm very intrigued with that quarterback matchup.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he I think, has a chip on his shoulder playing in New Orleans this year after how it went down. But Derek Carr's never won a playoff game, people.
Nope, never has.
Nope, never won a playoff game. New York Giants, Daniel Jones.
Okay. I think I actually might go Daniel Jones.
Really?
Yes. Because I think the way that Brian Daboll was able to coach them this year and the way that he exploded this year, I think it proved more to me of what he's going to be able to do this season. And I think there will be a good playoff team. But I think Daniel is a guy that he got drafted out of Duke. He's been trying to break through as much as he can, and this year I thought he did as best of a job as he possibly could. And if you flip the role, too, I would personally take a Daniel Jones. That's just me.
I give more credit to Daboll because of his offensive genius mind.
Yeah, and that's fair.
But Daniel Jones on this team, no, I'm still taking Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Hurts. I'm going to take Jalen Hurts. I understand that he had a phenomenal roster around him, but Jalen Hurts was a playmaker out this year, and it helps when you have, you know, a great offensive line, two explosive wide receivers, but I'm going to give Jalen Hurts the slight edge.
I think I will too. The fact that he carried that team through the entire postseason and the way that he played in the Super Bowl, I think warrants him being over Tannehill.
San Francisco 49ers, Brock Purdy / Trey Lance. I'm taking Tannehill over both of them.
Yeah.
Seattle Seahawks, Geno Smith. I'm going to give Ryan Tannehill the slight edge. He's been able to secure himself as a starting role for a while now in the NFL. Geno had a great year last year, but I'm still going to take Tannehill. Tampa Bay Bucks, I'm taking Tannehill over Kyle Trask / Baker Mayfield.
Who?
Yeah. And then Washington Commanders, I'm taking him over Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett. So I don't know what the exact number is, but I'm taking Tannehill over a good amount of the quarterbacks.
It might be about 20.
First off, in the NFC, AFC, of course, is a little bit deeper in quarterback play. But Tennessee Titans fans, you don't have it that bad. And you can somewhat see your future in Will Levis, whether he'll get some starts this year or whether he'll be the starter in 2024. But coming up next, Nick and I are going to give you our best bets of the weekend. We're going to take a look at some of the postseason games in the NBA and the NHL. Stay with us. Coming up next on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in, Chase and Michelle, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Keyser in for Chase McCabe. A little difficult.
Yeah, when you host and you talk and then you do the production, there's just no music here.
We can blame that on me because I was talking to Nick as we were coming back. Welcome back in. Happy Friday, Nashville. Putting a bow on things here before we hand off the baton to Caroline, Willie, and D-Mays. Caroline will actually be hosting Stillman and Company today, and it'll just be Derek Mason and Willie Donick in for our middays. A little scheduling change so Jared can have a little day off, and Chase is off too, so we're all over the place, but that's okay. What we like to do every 10:45 segment, we like to give our best bets. We'll recap from yesterday. I would just like to grab my crown. I picked the Panthers to win. I never thought it would be in a quadruple overtime, Nick. Nick picked the Canes, but we did both pick the Nuggets plus the 5.5. Minus the 5.5. They only won by 5 last night, but I know Derek Mason is in here. And I know he hears me talking about another Lakers loss.
I know, that's okay.
But tonight, we've got the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Miami takes game one in Boston. Boston a chance to bounce back in the TD Garden in Boston. Tonight, 7:30 tip. Boston a 9-point favorite. These sports books are disrespecting Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra, and the entire Miami Heat team.
He's the Hemi Butler, okay?
I think Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra, I think they have just thrived off this underdog mentality. I mean, between the play-in game, between all these lines, I mean, they were an 8.5-point dog. Now they're a 9-point dog. Give me Miami plus the 9. I think the Celtics pull out a win tonight, but I think that they cover this spread.
Yeah, I think that they do too. But I think ultimately it's going to be a lot closer of a game. Now, we did see I called that last night too. I thought it would be a lot closer of a game between the Nuggets and the Lakers. So, I mean, what was the point deficit last night?
5.
That's half point. That's so tough. That means someone missed a damn little shot at the line last night, but that's okay. Now, tonight, I think I'll take the Heat. I think so. I think they can fire back on all cylinders. I've liked them as the underdog. And looks like all the sports teams run through Miami right now, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a lot of Florida teams. Then we've got the Denver Nuggets and the Lakers. They're heading to L.A. tomorrow. Quick turnaround for them. The Los Angeles Lakers are a 5.5-point favorite. Derek, cover your ears right now. I think the Nuggets are going to sweep this series. I do. Is he laughing? I think
no,
he's
you
laughing.
Have a infamous just no, just not no.
Listen, I am worried about this Lakers team, and I think a lot of it comes down to the first 5 minutes of the game. I think when we've been watching these games, the Lakers will allow themselves to get behind the Nuggets, and then you also cannot let Jamal Murray have 23 points in the fourth quarter.
Is there anything that stands out to you as far as why they get behind early?
I mean, I think that Denver wants to play a fast game up and down the court, which is something that, you know, the Lakers struggle with. So I don't think it's out of the question. I mean, they're going to LA. You still have LeBron on your team, but I think Anthony Davis needs to be the star he was in game one with 40 plus points. I think defensively, he just needs to be a baller on both sides of the ball. I mean, last night when the shots weren't falling, I think he only had about 15 points last night. Then if you know your shots aren't falling, you need to be outstanding on defense. And that's been something that we've seen from Anthony Davis in his career all the way back to his time at Kentucky. But I think he needs to be the star. And LeBron, I mean, I get it. He's played a lot of basketball. These games have been really quick turnaround games, but their role players have been great for the Lakers. They've just lost a couple close ones, and going down 2-0 is not something you want to do, especially to this Denver Nuggets team that has been the best team in the West all year long, and seems like they're playing at the highest level right now. And I believe Jokic should have been the MVP.
Well, maybe conversation. Yeah, maybe the all-time point scorer can actually show up. I think he's played well in this series, but He needs to reach another level, and I think with AD taking that role, we could see them take the W just to try to even the playing field, because that dial is still turned a lot more toward the Nuggets, especially after the momentum that they had coming out of the last series.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would not be shocked if the Lakers won this game. I just look at the – I mean, last night, believe me, LeBron's the GOAT. I will have the conversation with anybody. I think LeBron is the GOAT. But he looked like he was losing it last night. I mean, he missed the wide-open dunk towards the fourth quarter. I mean, his legs underneath him to make a jump shot. I mean, I just saw the fatigue. So what will they look like tomorrow night? Another quick turnaround in L.A. against a home crowd? I don't know, but going to be a big performance. That's been the series that I've been enjoying the most, the Nuggets and the Lakers. Two close games the last two nights. And, of course, now we're going to switch to the NHL. Quadruple overtime between the Panthers and the Canes. They will have – well, first we'll go tonight. Dallas Stars and Golden Knights. Game one tonight. The game's in Vegas. I'm going to take Vegas. I think that they win tonight. Over, under 5.5. I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So I don't think that's a bad pick. I like – what was the line again? What'd you say?
I just said I'm just going to pick the Golden Knights on the money line, but they are the favorite, so it doesn't really matter. But I was going to take the over in that game, 5.5.
I tell you what, I'm going to go Stars. I think that Jake Oettinger is going to play lights out in this series. He's been phenomenal so far in the entire postseason. I think he's the best goaltender in the postseason without a doubt right now. He's been showing to everyone why he's a starting goaltender. I also think that the experience outweighs the Golden Knights. So I think I'll take the Stars. I don't want to say anything about the series yet. I'd have to do a little more research personally, but I do think the Stars will be making – I think that the Stars will cause a lot of trouble on the road to start the series.
Okay, and then Florida Panthers and the Hurricane tomorrow. They'll play game two. Panthers are up 1-0. Panthers are a dog in this game. The Hurricane are the favorite. They're favored by 1.5 on the spread. And then if you want to take the Panthers on the money line plus 135, there is some value there. I'm picking the Canes to win the game. But like I said, they're the favorite. Not much value there. But I'm going to take the under on this one, under 5.5. I think about the game that they just went through, quadruple overtime. They said they were popping Red Bulls. They were eating pizza just to get through the game. And I think, you know, the fatigue is definitely going to be there tomorrow night. So I'm going to take the under, but I think the Canes win.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I think we'll see a very fatigued team on both sides of things. One stat was there was a guy that skated, I think it was close to like 8 miles last night. So, sheesh. But you know what? I think I'm going to go Florida. Just because I think they're this phenomenal team that's going to try to get it done, and
Okay. They're
carrying the momentum and carrying their pride.
Well, you heard it here. Happy Friday, y'all! Handing off the baton to Caroline, Willie, and D Mace. Caroline will be on Stillman and Company today. It'll just be Derek Mason and Willie Donick, and hear Derek Mason yell at me because I said that the Lakers are going to get swept. Happy Friday, Nashville. Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.